Well, with George Walter Chess, we're talking about his book, The Magnificent Soul. His websites are linked up at coasttocoastam.com. And we will be back with more in just a moment. Your calls on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back. George Walter Chess with us. George, when a couple has been married for a long time and one dies and then it seems like the other one dies shortly thereafter, is that because of a broken heart?
Well, I don't know if it's because of a broken heart, but that happened to my parents just 2 years ago.
Oh, my gosh.
My
I'm sorry to hear that.
Away, and then my mother very shortly after. And I heard about that from a lot of people, how that often happens. And, you know, I felt that my mother didn't want to be alone, that she loved my dad and she wanted to be with him. And I think she just wanted to go on and, you know, be with him in another place in consciousness. And since he had left his body. So, you know, that I that's what I, and I actually talked to my brother the day before she died, and I said, you know, I think Mom is actually wanting to die, and we're trying to keep her alive.
Wow.
And then, and wow. Then that night she passed away. And he said, let's wait to talk about that with her until tomorrow. And then we never did.
When you got involved in this, was there anything surprising in your work and research that you came across?
Well, the thing that I think is the most startling and important for people, you know, other than finding that, you know, joy comes from following your heart, is that suffering comes from not following it. But yet there's a purpose to the people who don't follow their hearts and do these awful things, like the, you know, shootings and whatever, you know, stealing things and lying to people. There's many different levels of it, but there's a cosmology of the universe that I was taught by an old man back in 1990. He was a personal student of Rudolf Steiner. And he told me what Steiner taught him, and I didn't believe it at the time, but eventually I had an experience, a samadhi experience, an out-of-body experience, where I discovered the same thing. And it's that the consciousness that created the universe, there's only one of them. It's one consciousness. We're all part of that. Everything is part of it. But because there's only one, it can't find out what it feels like to meet another. So it's fashioned itself into separate individuals. We're each separate individuals, but we're all part of that one consciousness. And by being separate individuals, we can find out how it feels to meet another. Now, this is only possible because we've become an individual. Well, to make us into individuals, the divisive people who perpetrate these crimes, we might call it, are actually making us feel separate. And it's their activities that have allowed human beings to find out how it feels to meet another. And of course, one of those kinds of meetings is to find someone that you love. And to be able to love another takes another. You can't have just one. So this, you know, so much has become possible by having individuals. But when you look at the original people, the tribal people before civilization, what I found out is they're not individuals. I met three anthropologists that lived with and studied people that had just been discovered, and all three anthropologists said these people are not individuals. And this is what Rudolf Steiner said. He said the original people, the way they were originally created, were not individuals. So a special kind of people that is divisive. These are the people with the calcified pineal glands that don't have a conscience and are able to shoot out towards polarities and, you know, extremes and have extreme behavior, divide us into individuals. And this is what civilization is for. Supposedly this is coming to an end, and a lot of the paranormal activity that you talk about on your show, the you know, aliens and things, There's supposed to be a time that Steiner predicts and is predicted by all the spiritual texts, you know, Judaism, Christianity, Muslim, Hinduism, they all predict. And the Hopi people, I met with them, they have the same prophecies. Everybody's got it. The meek inherit the earth, and the divisive people are taken up and returned to the one. So they're the divisive people that are suffering from their extreme personalities and their ego-eccentric personalities, or emotionally, you know, exaggerated personalities, are going to go to heaven and be returned to the one, and their suffering will be over. They will be one again. But the people who have learned to open their hearts, follow their hearts, and open to love will inherit the earth. And they will be able to experience meeting their twin soul, and with that twin soul and with other like-minded people, they will experience the full blossoming of love on earth, and that will take them to the end of time. Now that is, you know, a kind of like fairy tale prophecy that's hard to believe, and we don't know if that's going to happen or not, but it certainly is a nicer way to look at the situation than Armageddon.
If you had a choice.
Yeah. So I prefer that one. Everybody wins. The people that are suffering from their polarization, they get to be released from that and returned to the one. When anyone experiences a transcendental experience where they leave their body and return to pure consciousness, they feel warm, blissful, and home again, more home again than they've ever felt. And that's what returning to the one is. And so the people that are all having, you know, a really difficult time and in life because they've turned away from their souls, they'll be, you know, blessed with an end to that suffering. There is no hell. They're already in hell. Hell is what they're living.
But there is evil.
Well, there is. There is good and evil. And both of them are extremes. And I know a good person that he was so good that he made me feel separate. And when he took his own life, he said that he was suffering the whole time because he didn't think he was good enough. So he was trying to be better, better, better. Now, on the other side, some people are going towards evil. And the evil has an interesting turnaround. There's something I talk about in my book, The Magnificent Soul. I talk about how there's a silver lining to evil. In my case, when I was 4 years old, I had an incident with a black widow spider. And it was terrifying. It was the most terrifying experience of my entire life. I remember shaking, feeling this bolt of terror through me. I was crying and screaming, and it was just horrible. But I'm almost certain that that incident caused me to follow my heart, to be afraid to not follow my heart. And because of that negative experience, that evil experience, you could call it, somehow that turned out to be perfect for me and allowed me to learn all of this and share what I'm sharing. So there's other examples. I cut my finger and had the most amazing experience of my life.
What do you mean? What happened?
Well, I was working, doing some carpentry, and I had a big 12-inch chop saw.
Ouch.
And I had this really steep-angled cut that I went to do, and I didn't. I should have built a jig to hold that properly, but I didn't, and it sucked my hand in and cut my finger.
Ouch. Cut it off?
Yeah, no, it just cut halfway through, damaged the tendon, but it didn't cut through the tendon. But the doctor said, after he put some stitches in there, he said, you know, you nicked the tendon, you have to stop working for 2 weeks. So I told my girlfriend, I said, you know, I got an unexpected vacation. I can't work for 2 weeks. And she said, I got a great idea. Let's take a week of that, and let's do this tantric lovemaking thing in nature. And I was like, well, okay, I'll go for that. So we went off on this experience, and for 7 days we did this tantric lovemaking. It's kind of a sacred lovemaking method. And on the last day of it, I had the most tremendous samadhi experience in my life, where
How's your finger, by
I
the way?
go ahead.
How's the finger, by the way?
Oh, the finger's fine. You can, there's a scar there to remind me of it, but
Yeah.
this finger is fine. And when I went into the samadhi, I became an infinite orgasm. And it was just unbelievable. It went forever and ever in every direction. And that led to me remembering the reason the universe was created, because this experience was so amazing. And so it was the most wonderful feeling you could feel. And I thought, wow, that's, I don't think there's anything better than this. And then this other thought came to me that eventually I would get used to it and it would become normal. And once it was normal, I would want to do something else. And then I had this memory that the one, the consciousness that I was experiencing being at that point, that it had experienced that a long time ago. It had done everything it could do by itself.
Now, let me ask you this, Georgia. We'll take calls. They're lining up here for you.
Sure.
What is the brain do if most of this goes to the heart?
Well, the brain, the ego mind. See, the thing is the ego mind is kind of like, it's an idiot. I know that I'm an idiot. I do things wrong all the time. But the soul guides you through it. And it's got to be dumb enough to believe that we're individuals. And that's or gullible enough. Let's say gullible enough. And Barnum and Bailey said, there's a sucker born every minute. Well, we're all suckers because we're all believing that we're individuals, but actually we aren't. There's one organism. That's everything. So our ego mind and our brain is designed to have the experience of being an individual. And through that, our ego mind is able to accomplish the goal of the universe, which is to find out how it feels to meet a mysterious other. And hopefully someday you're going to meet the one you love and the perfect one that's for you, That's that experience can't be had by the soul, because the soul knows it's part of everything and everything is part of it. It knows what everyone is thinking. It has complete awareness through the continuum of consciousness. And in that state of mind, you can't experience meeting the other because there is no other. So it takes the ego mind to be gullible enough to buy into the illusion of individuality so that we can accomplish the goal of the universe.
All right, get ready for some calls, and we'll do the same thing at the half here. Let's go to Sean in Santa Barbara, California, west of the Rockies. Sean, good morning. Go ahead. Hi, Sean. Nope, he's gone into the ozone layer. Joe in Long Island, I'll give you a try. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, hi, George Walter. A couple of questions and a comment, quick. First of all, your friends at MIT might have said you were a little bit distracted doing the bike riding. I would disagree with that, but they might have said that. And my question would be, what is distracted in this day and age when people even sitting in a class in Stanford are just texting anyway? So my second question would be, this controversy with nukes and with Kim in Korea right now. And you were mentioning about some of the mechanics maybe going into killing people that you had been involved with maybe. Would you put some of the blame on the scientists themselves? The blame gets put on the politics and the leaders. But how about the scientists that are doing this when they can be doing something else with their knowledge and skills that would, like the space program? And then my comment would be, I'm not sure if I agree that it's just the angel within, because I've been in nature and and I've seen some spectacular events in nature that were outside of me, that were almost like a show. you know, or were a show, you know, in the realm of like a movie, you know, spectacular events. So that's an outside force choreographing this or orchestrating this. So I think there are outside forces, whether angelic, et cetera, that do choreograph things out for us.
Absolutely. There, you know, there's one viewpoint called the panpsychism. It means that there's a soul in everything. And the consciousness is everything, and it's inside and outside. The part that you want to follow in terms of guidance is inside. But as far as what happens outside and how it can teach you things and how it can be absolutely incredible, definitely. I saw a lot of that. And as far as the bicycle ride, I went on a bicycle ride to find people, to find a community where I could live in nature. And I found that life and nature is a greater and more amazing technology than anything human beings will ever create. And when I realized that, I didn't want to help create more human technology, but I wanted to get involved in the technology of nature that is beyond anything. I mean, when a seed can turn into a giant tree and there's no factory or pollution involved, that's incredible. You know, and so I started realizing that. So I went on the bicycle ride and went to all these different communities. And every time I found people in those communities that I felt just weren't, I didn't know about all this heart stuff back then, but I had this kind of intuitive feeling that they didn't have their heart into it. They were trying to work the system. And I was like, this isn't the right community. So I kept going and going and finally gave up, went to Hawaii. You know, but I wasn't really distracted. I was on a mission, and I went all over the country and visited lots of intentional communities, hoping to find one that would be my home. You know, now there was one other piece you were talking about, the people. What was the middle part? I forgot.
Right. In other words, the responsibility of scientists that know they're working on, and I would say, insidious projects. You know, like missiles.
Yeah. Well, definitely, some of them are into it, and you know, it's interesting. Like Leonardo da Vinci developed a lot of weaponry, and he thought, well, you know, humans are the problem. And if I can create tools to help kill them, that will help get rid of the problem. So, you know, there's always a rationale that you can come up with to explain why you're doing something. And people do that. We rationalize it and we find a way. And it just depends on, you know, where you're at and what you're doing. But, you know, in my case, I was developing something. I thought it would be used for good. And then when I realized it could be used for anything, and I was like, of course, why didn't I even think of that? I'm just kind of an optimist, and I don't think about those things. So then I was like, wow, do I want to go forward with this? And I said, no, I don't. I don't think I want to feel that responsibility for possibly, you know, having a horrible weapon developed with my technology.
Oh, no, nobody would. Nobody would at all. Okay, George, stay with us. We're going to take a break here coming up, and we're going to come back and take final phone calls with our special guest, George Walter Chez. His book is called The Magnificent Soul, and his theory, of course, is that most of the consciousness and intuition is dealt with the heart. And I've heard that before. It is an amazing story. We'll be back with you in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Next hour, Jim Harrell joins us with some spooky supernatural stories, so make sure you're part of the program. We're going to come back in a moment with George Walter Chez and talk more about the magnificent soul and take your calls as well. And welcome back to our final segment with George Walter Chez and his book, The Magnificent Soul. And, of course, you can get the book on Amazon.com as well, and it's a great read. What's next for you, George, on your agenda these days?
Well, I'm looking forward to creating a organization called the Soul Covenant Organization. I got a website set up, and I want to try and get some land together through donations, possibly, and create sanctuaries for people that want to just really follow their hearts and not get involved in all the divisive activity that's going on in the world, and see if we can find places where people that want to open and follow their hearts can live together in peace and prosperity.
Just don't make them sweat lodges. You don't want those.
Right.
Too many problems with those things. Let's take some final calls here for you. Mary in New Jersey, welcome to the program. Go ahead, Mary.
Oh, well, I don't know if this will sound silly, but it reminded me of my dad. His name was George, and he loved to sing, and he had the sweetest voice. And one of his, I mean, we are older people. One of his songs was Heart of My Heart. And I just, every time you say heart, I keep remembering. And then I have if you're a Christian, you're to go into your closet. Could that be your heart? And you are to pray continuously, 24/7, and the Holy Spirit joins you there and interprets your prayer.
I like that.
Yeah.
Interesting take. Go ahead, George.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's, you know, that's it. You do have a special relationship with the Holy Spirit. Is the Christian name for the God within. And there's places in the Bible where it says she was filled with the Holy Spirit. Mary was filled with the Holy Spirit, and then she spoke these words of prophecy. And the people that, you know, this being filled with the Holy Spirit is when your soul and your heart expands and opens, you're open-hearted, and you know the truth. And it comes through when you really open your heart. And, you know, people have this misconception that love is blind. But actually, when your heart is open, you see more accurately than any other time. You realize that the universe is perfect. And when you come back, you close your heart, and you start looking at it from your intellect or your emotions, it seems like it's not right. Something's wrong, and it needs to be fixed. But that's the delusion of that polarity of consciousness, whether it's intellect or whether it's emotions. The only way you can see the truth is when both are woven together, and that's when you have the Holy Spirit. You have the whole consciousness of intellect and emotions together in a beautiful marriage. And, you know, that's God consciousness. And it's inside of you, and you can help it grow by opening your heart. In my book, I have a heart-opening breath technique that came through this woman, Indigo Ocean, and she guided me in this breathing technique, and I started doing it every day, and it just changed my life. And I put it in the book, and feel it's one of the most important things. There's several techniques in the book and ideas of how to open your heart further and follow your inner guidance. And, you know, and I also quote scripture from all the religions to support all of this. I support it with scientific evidence, with religious scripture from Judaism, Hinduism, Christianity, Muslim, Taoism. It all supports it. And in the last chapter, I get into this really interesting thing about the Hopi people and the Hawaiian kahunas. And I just found that so fascinating. It blew me away when I went to the Hopi people. And this old man showed me this tablet that was supposedly brought from the continent of Mu. And was when they were escaping, when it was sinking. And this thing's supposed to be like 6,000 years old. And it has a picture of the head, the gut, and the heart. And it shows a snake coming down from the head and up from the gut, meeting next to the heart. This is coming into your heart and following your heart. And this tablet is supposed to show how to become the fifth and final stage of man, the great spirit in human form, and experience living till the end of time. This is, you know, their prophecy as well. It's amazing.
George, what do you mean by closed-heart state of mind and open-hearted state of mind?
Well, the closed-hearted state of mind is when your soul is inside your heart, and the open-hearted state of mind is when that consciousness expands like a misty cloud and becomes larger than your entire body and encompasses your head and gut minds. transforming the way they see the world and, you know, giving them a deeper understanding of the perfection that exists everywhere. St. Francis of Assisi said, it was easy to see God in all that is beautiful. The deeper lesson was to see God in everything. And that's it. When your heart is open, when it's expanded like that, and you see differently because you're affected by this Holy Spirit that has now filled you, then you see the truth, and it's all fine. Even though when your heart closes again, it looks messed up. But so the best thing to do is to keep your heart open as much as you can. Well, I've found the thing that keeps my heart open the most is to continue to love my soul, because the state of love keeps your heart open. So I do this heart opening breath and I stay in love with my soul, and you know, I still get knocked off my, you know, that space. I end up, you know, things happen and they piss you off and whatever, but you can always do the breathing again and open the heart again and get back into that state and realize it's all okay. There's nothing you really have to be pissed about.
Okay, we don't use that word here.
Sorry about that.
All right, please.
And, you can just really see that everything is doing its part. Everyone is doing their part. And actually, the people that are doing the really nasty work are suffering the most. And we could be grateful that they're doing that job, and we aren't.
First-time caller Todd in Madisonville, Kentucky. Go ahead, Todd.
Hi, George, Nori, and thank you so much for your information and insight you deliver to the common man.
Absolutely. Thank you.
The morality of your show. For your guest, George, so far I haven't lived the fairy tale philosophy. I am totally polarized, and I probably have entities. My question is, if the pineal gland is calcified in the majority of people, is there a solution to this? What can I do to repair my pineal gland?
Oh, that's a great question. I found that you can ask the soul. I learned from a Chinese man, Dr. Shaw. He has a book called Soul, Mind, Body Healing, and he came to Maui, and he taught me how to ask my soul to heal me. And then I added to that some of the stuff I learned from the Hawaiian kahuna. And I have a technique in the book where you ask the soul, and for the pineal gland, what I recommend is to say something. I don't have the book open to that page, but I'll just paraphrase it approximately. You say something like, "Dear soul in my heart, I'm so sorry that I turned away from you. Please give me another chance. I want to follow you. Please decalcify my pineal gland and allow me to follow your guidance. I will do my best if you just give me one more chance. Thank you. I love you." And see what happens. And
is this like an affirmation?
It's actually asking this God to perform a miracle. And it can. I've healed things in my physical body in a minute that bothered me for over 20 years. And I was just astonished. I didn't think it was possible. But once it happened, I did it a second time. I had a neck problem and I had an ankle problem. And they both went away in less than a minute.
Really?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I just asked. And you know, this is what Dr. Shaw said. He had this book that's 600 pages, and he said, you only need to know what's on this one page here, and it can heal anything. And I did it, and it healed my neck, and then I did a modified version of it, and it healed my ankle. And the modified version, you tell the soul that it can change anything about you, your beliefs, your memories, your personality, things you know about yourself and things you don't know about yourself. You give it permission. And by giving the soul, there's like a thing about free will. And you have the free will to follow, do whatever you want. And your soul cannot stop you. That's part of, like, the way it's set up. So it cannot change you without you asking. So you have to ask it, and you have to give it permission to change anything about you. And then it will even repair psychological problems that can be the root cause of your physical ailment. And I had this one psychological issue that bothered me for my whole life. And after I asked to heal my ankle and included that permission, that problem was gone. And I was like, wow, that's amazing. That thing kind of ruined every relationship I had in my life. And it's gone. I was just astonished.
Let's go to Doc in Petaluma, California. Hey, Doc, go ahead.
Thanks, George. Hey, George, I got to tell you, you're talking to the choir here. This is stuff that I used to be saying to everybody way back when, and, you know, as a teenager and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, we're all a fracture of the main whole, you know?
That's right.
And I think that you talked about the being able to see things 3 seconds into the future. I think that the past, the present, and the future have already happened, and we're just physically experiencing it now with our lives.
That could be. I mean, that could also be a rationale for deja vu and everything else. A sick heart, if we have one, George, that is just physically not well, what does that do to your emotions?
You're talking about the physical heart or the soul in the heart?
They're one and the same, aren't they?
Okay. Well, yeah. I mean, there's I believe that when a person turns away from their soul and they decide I'm not going to listen and the pineal gland is calcified, I believe that then the soul shifts roles and it begins guiding the person towards polarity to get them to be divisive so that they'll perform the job of dividing people into individuals. So you can either follow your heart and be one of the ones that open to love, or you can not follow your heart and be one of the divisive ones. And if you don't follow your heart, then your heart becomes what you could call a sick heart, or a stony heart. That's actually in Judaism they call it the stony heart. In Christianity, it's called a hardened heart. So these kind of which would kind of tie into the pineal gland thing. And I think what happens is the soul says, okay, well, this person's, not wanting to go along, so therefore I'm going to propel them through desires into a kind of role that's going to divide people. And unfortunately, that person's going to probably suffer by going in that extreme direction, but somebody's got to do these jobs, and so that's the job this person's now going to have to do. And I think that, like the man asked earlier, you can change your mind, and I think you can ask. I hope that everyone is able to find a way to have a enjoyable life and come into balance and peace. And I think that if they can't do it in their life, that when they go beyond, they'll return to the one, and everything will be peaceful, and it'll all resolve. But some people have to play these difficult roles. And you think of like a movie where somebody has to play the bad guy. Well, I wouldn't want to play that role in that movie. That would just feel really weird to me.
Unless they paid you well.
Yeah. But if they pay you enough, then, right?
Then it's okay.
That's exactly what gets the people going in that direction.
That's exactly right. George, we're almost out of time. Just a few seconds left. What do you recommend to people who have these heavy hearts who just aren't happy?
Well, I think, it depends on their particular condition. If they think they have a calcified pineal gland, you can check. You can just get an X-ray, and it'll tell you. Whether the radiologist will tell you whether it's calcified or not. If it is, then I would recommend doing the asking for your soul to change that. And then for the people who don't have a calcified pineal gland, what's important is that the soul's guidance makes a person's life joyful, while following the ego causes suffering. So you always want to go towards the middle.
Well, or at least towards the light, to be sure. We're going to come back and talk spooky stories with Jim Harold in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.